Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. In the early morning on New Year's Day 2009, Oscar Grant was shot and killed by BART police officer Johannes Messerli. Oscar Grant was a son, a brother, a grandson, and a father. Since then, Oscar Grant's mother, Wanda Johnson, has been advocating to end police brutality. She's also been connecting with other mothers whose Black sons have been victimized or killed by police. In the new powerful documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist, we follow Wanda Johnson as she organizes and works with moms across the country to create a network of community-led support, mutual aid, and healing. Wanda Johnson supports moms like Angela Williams, whose son Ulysses survived a brutal police beating in Troy, Alabama, and lived to tell the story. In the documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist, Wanda Johnson says, "It takes a group of us to fight. We have to fight for what's right. You have to turn your pain into purpose." Here is a trailer for Black Mothers Love and Resist.
It's scary to be a mother of a Black son.
A young man severely beaten, and his mom says it was Troy police that are responsible.
He said a tall white officer came and just kicked him in the face. He don't remember nothing after then, so I'm guessing he went unconscious. I wanted people to just see it. Ain't no way you can explain what I seen in my son. Wasn't no way you could explain it. I'm lucky to have Ulysses alive because a lot of mothers don't have their son.
My son was murdered. He was murdered. He was murdered.
You go through the steps of grief, but you have to turn your pain into purpose.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Thank you for celebrating the Oscar Grant legacy with me.
It's going to take you to go to that police station and tell them they need to find out who killed your child.
I can't get him no help that he need way there because I'm afraid one day it's going to get too much for it.
I lift up my sister Angela to you in the name of Jesus.
This is a sorority that we didn't pledge for. Whenever we get together, we can. It's the opportunity for us to empower, inspire, and uplift one another.
Let it out.
Oh, that feels good.
It helps being connected with other mothers. That's what
helps. I'm available. You guys can call me.
I'm sorry for what happened to your son.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened to your son, too. I'm not used to speaking in front of people, and I was trying to wonder if you had any advice. You might give up on my son, but I'm not going to give up on my son at all.
I'm telling you, make this thing big. Don't let it die.
She took it upon herself, and that's what these Black mothers are doing. They understand that the battle is theirs.
To hear that the Troy Police Department been hiding footage is dead wrong, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Undeterred by a global pandemic, an anticipated crowd of 70,000 marched from Washington on Friday.
Black lives matter, and we won't stop until it matters to everybody.
I'm here because enough is enough. How many more have to die?
We can change some of the laws that are before us if we band together.
One day I'm going to be up there.
Come on, fight for them, because nobody's going to know your child none unless you say something. If you don't say nothing about it, they will not know.
That is a trailer for the powerful new documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist. It is screening at the San Francisco International Film Festival this Friday at 8:30 at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. Tickets are sold out, but we will talk about other ways you can see this film. Today, we're joined by Deborah Souza Silva, an award-winning Brazilian documentary filmmaker whose work examines systemic racism and inequality. She is the director of Black Mothers Love and Resist. Hi, Deborah. Thank you to you and your team for making this powerful film, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
It's great to have you. We're also joined by Wanda Johnson, a mother, activist, and speaker with a long history of community organizing and speaking about equity. Wanda Johnson is the CEO of the Oscar Grant Foundation. She's also an ordained minister. Hi, Wanda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and I'm glad to be on the show today.
You know, Wanda, I just have to ask you, there's so many moments in the film that are so powerful, but just watching you doing interviews over and over again, talking about when Oscar was born, talking about the time you spent on Christmas Eve with Oscar, and wanting to serve in the church with Oscar. I mean, what is that like? I mean, you're on this show right now. You're going to be doing so many interviews in the next few months. What is it like for you to just be doing these interviews over and over again?
You know, when the Lord showed me that Oscar and I would be in ministry together, meaning that he would open up platforms for us to speak on, I didn't think that I would be speaking by myself. I thought that Oscar would be with me and speaking as well. And so now that I'm just speaking by myself, sometimes it gets overwhelming, but it also provides an opportunity to share that we still have a long way to go in our society to ensure that all people are treated equally. And so because of that, I will continue to speak on the very same issues that brought me to this platform that I'm on today. And so, you know, if it had not been for the Oscar, Deborah and I probably would have never met. I probably would not be doing this interview. Mm-hmm. And so being able to share his story, being able to encourage others and propel them to push and go forward is a healing also for me.
And I did not know this before. I mean, I've read so much about Oscar and the great work that you do, but in the film, you share that December 31st is your birthday, and you spent that day with Oscar laughing and joking. There's just so much comes out that, you know, a lot of people don't know the more you talk about your story.
And you're absolutely right. There's different settings that I'm prompted by the Lord to say one thing, and then there's other settings prompt to say something else. Mm-hmm. And it's the audience that I'm in front of that I think propels me to say different things. But being in front of the mothers is a time for me to minister to them, to share with them that their children's life matter. And no matter what society says, no matter what they've been through, God allowed them to come to this earth for a purpose. And it's our responsibility as parents to ensure that our child's legacy remains and is not just diminished or not put under the rug or not just forgotten. And I'm the only one who can keep Oscar's legacy alive. And so that's what I work to do. And that's what I share with other mothers that they have the responsibility to do to keep their child's legacy alive.
Deborah, what makes this film so powerful is to see the moms in action, to learn about their stories. Some of these moms and their sons are household names for the most part, others we've never heard of. How did you first decide to make this film and then connect with all of these moms? Because that's such a powerful message in this film, the power of organizing and connecting.
Yes, thank you for the question. For me, I mean, I came to this story, it started as a short film, right? I was working as a video journalist as a news organization in the Bay Area, and we had a series that was called The Aftermath, and each episode investigated a big story and investigated what happened after the big story. And for me, I've always wanted to revisit the story of Oscar Grant because, you know, I moved from Brazil to the Bay Area in 2009. And that was the year that, you know, Oscar had been killed and, you know, the news was up. This incident was all over the news. And I remember how that impacted me. So fast forward, when I was working at this news organization, I contacted Wanda Johnson because I wanted to interview her for one episode for our Aftermath series. And, you know, that weekend, that same week that I called her, it was February, which is Oscar Grant's, is the month of his birthday. And Wanda told me, okay, you can come and interview me. And by the way, I am having the Oscar Grant, I'm hosting the Oscar Grant Legacy Weekend, which is a gathering of mothers that are organized every single year, you know, since Oscar was killed. And then I thought that that itself was really, really interesting. And I remember talking with Wanda over the phone, and then she said, and you're going to meet mothers who you've seen in the media, but also you're going to meet mothers who you've never seen in the media, because many of those stories are never told, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember showing up for that weekend with my two cameras, and I was really unprepared for all of what I was going to witness. And honestly, I was really prepared to, you know, for deep sadness for that whole weekend, just hearing stories of mothers who loved their children. I found that, you know, I captured that sadness. But I think what really stood out for me was the power of the mothers organizing, strategizing, sharing resources one with one another. And for me, just seeing Wanda mothering other moms, you know, comforting them, I thought I left really, really inspired. And I feel like as a journalist, up until that point, I had not seen, you know, stories about mothers organizing and really helping one another. I didn't see enough of that movement, you know, and I felt like there was a gap in reporting, and I really wanted to show that side, that powerful side of moms coming together and fighting together.
So powerful. And before we get into talk about the activism, I hope you don't mind me asking you this, Wanda, but to think that according to The Lancet, every 18 hours, a Black person is killed by police in the United States. Every 18 hours. I mean, reading that sentence, you have to read it again, and you think there's got to be a mistake in that sentence. But every 18 hours. So what is it like for you to have to live this over and over again? But then, I mean, it's an amazing experience to work with these moms, but also such a burden because you're really walking them through the process, and everyone has their own process.
So for me, having to go through the judicial system, the court system, when my son was killed, and watching and feeling and seeing the treatment that we received, really placed something inside of my entire family that said, you know what? We got to do something to help other families go through this process. The process of the judicial system and the policing system, you know, really changed our whole perspective of America. And so from that, it propelled a fight in us to work to change some of the laws and to work with families to let them know that our judicial system, our policing system isn't fair. And the only way that we're going to be able to change some of these laws and the policing system and the judicial system, it's going to require us to band together as families. And so, you know, we've taken on that approach because we look at how our judicial system, you talked about the killings of a black man every 18 hours, you know, and it's actually less than that now. Mm-hmm. I think the information you have is from the 21st century policing. And so the way the system is set up, is a disservice to us in America and African-American people. And we have to begin to change the way that we have our laws and our land, the way that it's set up, so that it's not exclusive to people of color, but it's inclusive to all mankind. And so that's what propels me to continue to fight, continue to push forward, continue to grab these mothers and to work with them.
And when you think about the process involved in all of this, I'm guessing that a lot of people just don't know what is involved. It was horrific and heartbreaking to learn that it took 12 years for you to get Oscar's things back. The shirt he was wearing covered in dried blood, his cell phone. And then you say that a lot of people never get their child's things back.
And you're absolutely right. So I still only have one of Oscar's cell phones. I don't have all of his property. I have his clothes, but they didn't give me his cell phone. And so some families never get any of their property back. I'm still fighting to get my son's property. And it's very, very sad that instead of the officer taking responsibility for the actions that are committed against families, the blame gets shifted to the family. Mm. And instead of the support and nurturing that the officers get, the families get many times demonized. And so you can look at numerous cases where that has happened to the families instead of the communities having the sympathy for the families. At times, the sympathy is given to the officers for their grievous act against the child. And so my family and myself, we fight to let families know that no matter what society says, no matter what you have to do, work to get justice for your child. Work to keep your child's legacy alive by sharing your child's story, by going up to the city council meetings, by going up to whatever meetings you have to go to make a sound that your child's life mattered. Then that's what you need to do, because otherwise it'll be swept under the rug and it'll be a no name that we don't hear about.
And then talking about body cams and the power of videos, Angela Williams' story is also told in the documentary Black Mothers Love and Resist. Angela is the mother of Ulysses Wilkerson. He was 17 when he was walking home from a holiday party in Troy, Alabama, and brutally beaten by police. And you had many conversations with Angela, and one, you talked about the power of videos. In this case, an anonymous person told Angela that the police officer who brutally kicked her son's face turned off the body cam. And you said, had there been no video, lawyers might not have taken Oscar's case.
And you're absolutely right. I thank God for the 7 different videos and the camera phones that was taken. Had it not been for the community who watched this grievous act that happened to my son, we probably would not even be having this conversation. I truly believe that they would have made it so it was said it was self-defense. And the reason why I say that is because when Oscar was first killed, the first thing that they said that he was resisting arrest. The officer said he feared for his life. Then he said he has his hand in his waistband. He began to make all these narratives and begin to get the community and society to believe all those narratives. And when those narratives did not work, oh, I thought he had a gun. When that narrative did not work and the community began to show the videos and that the community was not buying it, then the last thing used was taser gun confusion. But I always say to people, if the officer did not know the difference between his taser and his gun, how is it that the last picture on my son's camera was of the officer who shot and killed him pointing his taser at my son? Mm. And so I always share with families, there's going to be a narrative told about your child. You can't listen to the narrative. You got to really search and find out what happened. And you got to sound your voice as a trumpet to ensure justice is served for your child. Mm.
Deborah, what really stood out for you learning more about how this system works? I mean, in the case of Angela, she said she found out more than the lawyers.
Yes, I think what stood out and is part of what Wanda was talking about. I feel like for me, following this case and just seeing the narrative repeating itself in every single case, right? They had a gun, they didn't have a gun anymore. And then, you know, just like seeing what families have to go through, like their challenges are very similar. I mean, for me, even like while I was covering, you know, these two stories, Wanda and Angela, and during the kill, you know, when George Floyd was killing and was killed, just watching the trial of the officers and just seeing them, I felt like George Floyd was on trial, right? They were talking about his character all the time. And I feel like, you know, by following Angela Williams' case, for instance, just seeing how his son's image on the media was, you know, he was brutalized. His image was brutalized too after, you know, he was physically brutalized by the police. So I just feel like, you know, the society and our criminal justice system fails to see children as children, right? And it doesn't give them a chance. So I think seeing that was really, really challenging for me, you know, to see that this narrative was repeating over and over again. But it was very empowering for me, just, you know, following this story and how Wanda was mentoring this, you know, the other moms, and just seeing sometimes Wanda was wearing the hat of activist, and she was fighting for, you know, lobbying for legislation. But then on the other day when I was following her, she had her, you know, mom's hat, and she was mentoring other moms, just seeing all those, you know, hats that she was wearing. It was really, really powerful for me as a journalist.
Oh, I bet. And Wanda, it's just all consuming. I don't want to give too much from the film away because really, I hope everyone can see it. But I was just, when I was watching you, I thought, how is she doing this day after day? And you eventually had a stroke. And I'm just
it was Bell's palsy.
Bell's palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because in one of the scenes, we see you at a rally, and I did notice before I learned that you had Bell's palsy that part of your face was drooping. And I thought, oh my gosh, I think she's either had a stroke or Bell's palsy. How are you doing now?
I'm still suffering with the aftermath of it, but I am determined to keep pushing and to keep fighting to a change takes place. This is my life. And there's no turning back. So I have to continue, even with the bout of Bell's palsy, with the bout of some days sad and not wanting to, I still have to continue to fight for an equal opportunity, for justice, for my people. Because if I don't fight, then I've kind of just, in a sense, kind of given up. When I see in our judicial system the disparities, as you mentioned earlier, the amount of African American getting killed every hour at the hands of those that are hard to protect and serve. If a light is not shined on that, if a thought is not provoked, then there's no need to even discuss it. So I have to continue to fight no matter what challenges I face internally. My fight is to see change so that all people have an equal opportunity in what we call Great America.
Wanda Johnson is a mom, activist, and speaker. She's also CEO of the Oscar Grant Foundation and an ordained minister. We follow Wanda Johnson doing incredible organizing and connecting with moms across the country whose Black sons have been victimized or killed by police. The new documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist, was directed by Deborah Souza Silva. Deborah, I just wanted to ask you before we go to break, the film is screening at the San Francisco International Film Fest this Friday at 8:30 at the Roxy. And I just saw on social media that some tickets have been released. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. They had, I think, some tickets on hold and then they released it because there is so many people wanting to buy tickets. So if you want to go and buy it fast, act fast because it's almost sold out.
And you can find a link at yourcallradio.org. And then if people are not able to see it in the theater, how can they see this film? Should they just follow your website to follow you at film festivals?
Yes, that's correct. We are about to go on a festival circuit. We are still waiting, to hear from some festivals. But we intend to take this film in many states across the country, and hopefully land on either public TV or on a big streamer.
Oh, that would be fantastic to be on public TV and the big screen. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Again, you can find links to ticket information for Black Mothers Love and Resist. Again, this Friday, 8:30 p.m. at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. Tickets are almost sold out, so you can buy one now. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are talking about the powerful new documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist. In the documentary, we follow today's guest, Wanda Johnson, the mother of Oscar Grant, as she organizes and works with moms across the country to create a network of community-led support, mutual aid, and healing. Wanda Johnson is the CEO of the Oscar Grant Foundation and an ordained minister. Deborah Souza Silva is an award-winning Brazilian documentary filmmaker whose work examines systemic racism and inequality. She's the director of Black Mothers Love and Resist. It is screening at the San Francisco International Film Festival. Tickets are going very fast. A few have just been released. So if you'd like to get one, you can head over to yourcallradio.org to find a link. It's this Friday at 8:30 at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. If you have any questions or comments for our guests, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. I want to play a clip from the film, and the movie starts with you, Wanda, introducing the moms of sons who've been killed. And it's just so powerful to watch people kind of whisper and say, oh my gosh, that's Eric Garner's mom. And then people start crying. And so we're just going to hear moms introduce themselves. This is from Black Mothers Love and Resist.
My name is Gwen Carr, and my son was Eric Garner. I also had a son, Emery Garner.
I am Pamela Fields, and I'm the mother of Dante Jordan, also the auntie of Dante Parker, and I'm also the cousin of Derek Hunt. I've lost three family members within 2 years. for law enforcement.
I'm Marion Gray Hopkins, and my son was Gary Hopkins Jr., who was murdered by the police, unarmed, no drugs, no alcohol, at the age of 19.
I am Geneva Reed Bill, the mother of Sandra Bland, and everybody saw the tape.
Yeah.
So I don't like to repeat it a lot, but what I will say to you all is all of our babies were selected and chosen.
That's right.
Because God knew exactly the pearls that we were going to become. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not just here for my son. I'm here for everyone's child that was murdered, beaten, shot down by the police, that the laws, the rules, the regulations, and protocol be changed. That's my goal. That no one else will have to go through what we've been through.
So you gotta learn how to fight.
Come on.
That is a clip from the documentary Black Mothers Love and Resist. Wanda Johnson is the mother of Oscar Grant. Wanda, what is it like to be in that room when the moms talk about what happened to their sons? I mean, just to repeat one of the moms, because it was a little low, but she said she lost 3 sons to police brutality.
You know, it is a room where there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of tears, but for the Legacy Weekend, we try to not dwell on the hurt and pain and all the symptoms of grief that goes along with it, but we try to encourage and empower each other to propel forward in ensuring that their child's name is not forgotten. And so some of the mothers that was there, they lost their child by community violence. And oftentimes it's taking years and years and years for the case to be resolved. And so I encouraged them, listen, that's your child. If you just walk home and you don't say anything about it, that case will go on and never be resolved. But you gotta let people know. You gotta let our system know. You gotta let our society know that you care about your son or your daughter and you want their killers convicted. You want action taken. And so in that room during our Legacy Weekend, we cry, but we empower, we encourage, we nurture, we share stories on how to fight to ensure justice is served for our children.
Deborah, what was it like for you to film these gatherings?
Yes, I should start by saying this was actually the first time that I met Wanda. That was my first contact with her. Wow. And just for me to be allowed in that space with my camera, I was the only journalist there. Hmm. I'm incredibly thankful for Wanda for allowing me to capture, to document that space. I feel like for me, I knew that police brutality is a huge problem in our country, in our society, and, you know, abroad too. But for me to see that circle of mothers saying over and over again that the police killed their children, that was just a reminder that this problem is systemic, right? And also, it was a reminder to me that, you know, society doesn't care about black lives. Mm-hmm. So I thought at that moment, I think that was the moment that I was like, we need to have, you know, a larger film about these mothers, about what they are doing. But as Wanda just mentioned, I think for me to be documenting that space, that, you know, that movement, I felt a lot of mixed emotions, right? I felt angry to see, you know, to hear so many stories of loss. But I also felt inspired because those mothers were there together in the midst of pain. They were still there, available for one another. And I thought that was the aspect that I really wanted my documentary to focus on this, you know, community of care and support. Of course, my documentary holds space for the trauma that the families face, right? Because this starts with a tragedy. This story starts with a tragedy. But I wanted the documentary to focus on the mother's resilience, and the aspect that they are supporting one another and forming and nurturing this very powerful movement of mothers.
It's really amazing. I mean, Wanda, there were so many scenes where moms were just breaking down, and you held it together and said, you can do this. We have to do this together. We're here for you. Call anytime. I mean, I'm just guessing we just saw a tiny percentage of that work. Does this happen just on a regular basis?
All the time. Wow. And now it's kind of even moved from just the loss of our children being killed by police or community violence to other type of losses. And so I encourage families, you know, to fight for their child, because so often we try to deem that person as insignificant or of no value. And our children have value. I can't say it enough. They've been created for a specific purpose, and only that child can fill that purpose. And so I always encourage families, don't listen to what society is saying about your child. Know in your heart about your child and have peace from that. Because our society, again, demonizes oftentimes our children who's been killed by the hands of police, or even sometimes in community violence. And so we tend to accept what our society says and not propel forward to ensure justice is served for our child. Instead, we often just throw the sheet over ourselves and cover up and continue on forward and not even mention that child. But one of the things that I learned and that I was given and commissioned by God is to continue to share my son's story, no matter how society thinks about him. And whether they think that what happened to him should have happened. But I tell families, don't worry about that. You be the voice of your child. You fight for your child. And so having other families and me having to do that and getting all phone calls, all type of times throughout the day and in the morning and trying to be a support, sometimes it gets overwhelming. But this is my life. This is my call. This is what I'm commissioned to do. And so I have to do it no matter how I'm feeling.
And you make such a good point that it's horrible to say this, but you dealt with racism in the film. And so I just think of the word othering and the fact that you have to humanize these young men and boys and the families, because there's a character assassination, and it's pretty obvious at this point. People call it before it happens now.
Oh, absolutely. When Oscar was killed, so I was interviewed and I was asked several questions about my education background. And so I went on to say that I had gotten my master's. And so the attorney for the officer who was in there asking questions alluded to, well, you didn't have much time to spend with Oscar because you was at school all the time. And so I sat there and thought about her statement for a minute. And as I left there, I did answer her question, though, regarding me being gone all the time because I was in school, is what she tried to say. And that's why Oscar was killed, basically, and he caused his own death. I know if that happened to me, what some of these other mothers, how they were questioned, what they went through. And I know that some of them did not have a relationship with God, and some of them did. And some of them was not, I don't want to say that I'm strong, but some of them was not as connected in their relationship with God to help give them that strength, and did not even have the families around them to help them push and ensure justice is served. And so from that, the very beginning, I knew that I had to block out everything that was being said, because if I didn't block it out, I would have fell into the trap of just throwing a sheet over my head and not even trying to fight for justice for my son.
Well, Deborah, that's the other thing that makes the film so powerful, because you could feel alone. I mean, you're taking on this, the powerful state, a powerful police force, and to see the moms working together and encouraging each other and then sharing resources. How do you try to get body cam footage? How do you even hire a lawyer? Who do you hire? I mean, the fact that they're just together sharing resources, one's down, the other one's up, and vice versa the next day, but just giving each other the strength to continue is so powerful.
Yes, and I think that that's why, you know, from the very beginning, I wanted this film to be a platform for the mothers to share their stories, right? Because even though, like, we see these women in quick news sound bites on the news when the incidents happen, but then we don't follow their day-to-day challenges. So for me, I really wanted to be very close to these two cases. We tracked, you know, the story of Wanda and Angela for the course of 5 years, because the intention was to really capture and expose the daily challenge that these faces, these families face. Because though this is like invisible pain that they face because we don't see enough, right? So by staying with those two stories very closely, I was there, you know, in every step. Like, you know, it's so difficult for a mother to indict a police officer. That's what I found by, you know, documenting Angela's story. It's so hard for a mother, it's hard work for them to lobby and pass a piece of legislation, as we see with Wanda Johnson. It's so hard for them to, you know, many times they don't have a community to support them, as we see in the case of Angela Williams. She had a lot of community support in the beginning, but then when the media attention faded, then she was there, left behind, you know, and alone to pick up the pieces of what happened to her son. So I think, you know, the idea of doing this film was, one of the goals was to show and expose all these challenges that families go on, that they face when this type of incidents happens. It's like police brutality really devastates a whole community, right? Mm-hmm. A whole community is traumatized with what happens, you know, in the aftermath of these incidents. So I really wanted my film to capture and make this challenge visible so that we can address them. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that is very important is that police violence reflects bigger systemic issues, mm-hmm. right? What I found by following those two stories It's not just the police officers who killed their children. They are supported by a whole criminal, you know, justice system. You know, when these officers are not indicted, you know, look at the grand jury. In many cases, they are formed by majority white people. And as you see on the story of Angela Williams, and she says, how can people in the grand jury don't see the same thing that I see, right? So this is a problem. And so then there is the mayor who, you know, never calls her to support her. So it's a whole system. It's not just the police officers. It's a whole system that protects them. Mm.
Deborah Souza Silva directed the new documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist. And in the film, we just meet so many moms whose sons have been victimized or killed by police. We follow Wanda Johnson, the mother of Oscar Grant, who's also joining us today as she organizes and works with moms to create a network of community-led support, mutual aid, and healing. Black Mothers Love and Resist is screening at the San Francisco International Film Festival this Friday at 8:30 at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. Tickets are almost gone. They just released some more, and you can find information at yourcallradio.org. Wanda, we follow you when you meet with mothers. And we also learn that in the case of Angela, and just to remind listeners, Angela Williams is the mom of Ulysses Wilkerson, who at 17 was walking home from a holiday party at night when he was confronted and beaten by the Troy police. She started a similar group called Moms, Mothers on a Mission. And so she's also bringing moms together. Is this just happening across the country at this point?
Yes, it does. We work to support each other, go to court with each other, continue to contact each other, continue to provide platforms for each other to share our stories. There's a lot of mothers whose story does not get told, and many of us as mothers who've lost our children, who have platforms, oftentimes extend our platform to those mothers because, you know, it's a lot of stories untold and a lot of mothers will not say anything. And so we encourage that this is a sorority that we didn't want to be in, but we're in it. And our goal is to try to keep other mothers out of it. And if by chance they do have to enter it, that it will be our goal to support them. And so whether we call them, whether we pray with them, whether we're there for them when they're going to their court or going through the process of the case, we vow and continue to do that. So we, you know, for myself, I meet with a lot of the mothers throughout the year. This year, I'll be meeting with Mike Brown's mother. We'll be spending probably about 4 or 5 days together. I'll be again meeting with Gwen Carr, Eric Gardner's mother. We'll be spending about 4 or 5 days together. And so we get together, encourage each other, pray with each other, cry with each other, support each other, help each other with events, if we plan events. We're there and we're doing it all across the United States because a statement has to be made to let our society know that there's too many unjust killings of our young men of color taking place unnecessarily.
At a gathering with moms in Washington, D.C. before a very large march, Eric Garner's mom said, "We know it's too late for our children, but we have to save someone else's child. We have to save our grandchildren. If we don't, it's going to go on and on and on." I just realized that we're almost out of time. So I wanted to ask you, Wanda, what does it take, given all of your experience now, your work on the ground, to actually change things, to change laws? Like we were talking about earlier, Deborah mentioned the work that you were doing to advocate for AB 392. This is a California law that forbids the use of deadly force except to defend against imminent death. You were alongside Stephon Clark's family. He was shot and killed by Sacramento police in the backyard of his grandparents' home. The police fired 20 shots. That bill did pass, but that's just one of so many bills that need to pass. So what really works at this point?
It works if we all band together, and as we come up with these bills to change the system, not allow the system to water them down so much so that they become of none effect. It's going to require, and I always say, a dismantling of the system and a rebuilding it inclusive of people of color versus it being built without inclusion of people of color. And so until we begin to dismantle the system and rebuild it so that it's inclusive of all people, we continue and will continue have to go to the state capitol, have to go to Washington, D.C. and protest and voice our opinions and sit down with legislative and rewrite some of the laws. We will continue to have to do this. And this is a fight that will continue probably even after I'm gone off of this earth, because it's a race and it's not a fast-paced race. You look at Martin Luther King and it was a step-by-step. And so this is what we're taking step-by-steps to ensure that some of our laws get changed and that our people are treated equally throughout the United States and the world.
Wanda Johnson is the mother of Oscar Grant and the CEO of the Oscar Grant Foundation. She is featured in the new documentary, Black Mothers Love and Resist. Wanda, thank you so much for the important work you're doing, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for the invite, and you can look us up on the Oscar Grant Foundation.
We will. Thank you. Deborah Souza Silva directed Black Mothers Love and Resist. It is screening at the San Francisco International Film Festival this Friday at 8:30 p.m. at the Roxy Theater. A few tickets have just been released. Find information at yourcallradio.org. Deborah, again, huge thanks to you and your team. This documentary is so powerful. Thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.